Heavenly Father, we pray that you will take my words and speak through them. Take our hearts and speak to them, that each of us may hear your words today. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. Amen. Do you ever stop and say, I wonder what I was doing 10 years ago today, or 20 years ago? Well, 9 years ago today, I was on vacation in New England, and I had had a meeting with the deployment officer in the Diocese of Connecticut, and we'd been discussing the possibility, is it feasible for me to move from the church in Wales to the Episcopal Church? And because I'm here, you know the answer to that question. But he suggested that I visit some churches in Connecticut that were in the search for a rector. And so I went to one this Sunday 9 years ago. And at the end of the service, the chair of the search committee came to the front and gave a notice. He said, well, I've had to take on this role. Nobody else really wanted it to chair the search committee. And it's quite ridiculous, really, because I've had a meeting with the diocese, and it could take us up to 18 months, maybe even 2 years, to find a new rector. Anyway, it's ridiculous, I think, because all we need to do is find a priest. But that's how it is. And I sat there in the congregation thinking, I don't think I'd fit in here. And there were more reasons why as well, but I'm not going into that. So why would I tell you that story? It's because it's linked to my theme this morning, which is about how our rector search works. And why did that particular church get it so wrong? I think it's because they approached it saying, we just need to find a priest. And they weren't thinking about the process you have to go through to get to that point. And you know, there are some people who've said to me in this congregation, why does it take so long? Because the same words came out, we just need to find a priest. And I think it means that we don't think about the special relationship that develops between a priest and the people who make up the congregation. Some people compare it to getting married. It's not quite the same, because we know that one day the divorce will happen. But you can compare it to being married. And I was having a discussion with Father Brian, who's not here today, about this last week. He's on Fire Island, if you're wondering where he is. And he compared it to his experience of online dating. I'm letting his secrets out now. And he explained that one of the things you have to do is write a profile about yourself. If you get the profile wrong, you end up with disappointing dates. He told me a bit about that, but that's private. The point is that in your profile, you need to be honest and realistic about yourself. And you need to be honest with yourself about what you're actually like. So, you know, if you put in your profile, I love walking, you might understand by that you take the car down to the marina at Sable, you get out, you stroll along the dock, you stroll around the park, you sit on a bench, you admire the sunset, and you've had a great walk. A person who reads it might see instead, we can do the Appalachian Trail together. What you say about yourself attracts the kind of person you want to meet or not. What we say about ourselves as a church will attract the kind of candidates we need as rector or not. So before we get to a point where we advertise the post of rector, we have to prepare our profile. And before we prepare our profile, we have to know ourselves well. Know our faults, know our strengths, know our weaknesses, know what we're really like and be honest with ourselves. Or we'll end up getting the wrong kind of date. And that's a work for the search committee and the writing committee that is going on now. But their aim is not to produce a profile which just reflects what they think. They want and need input from the whole congregation. We all of us need to have our say in the profile we produce. And there are various tools that enable that to happen. One of them you will remember, and it feels a long time ago now, was our parish summit in April. You remember we gathered for a Sunday afternoon and Canon Woodley led us through a number of exercises to consider what's important to us in the church, what are the things that make up our core value, what would we want to always keep in this church and make sure that we preserve for the future, and what kind of church is God calling us to be. There's a lot of data that the search committee has from that afternoon. But the next step is that we'll be having a survey or a questionnaire. That's going to start in 2 weeks' time, and I'll be talking more about that 2 weeks today. But before we fill in our surveys, I want to leave you a few questions to think about. What kind of church are we? The kind of question that we perhaps take for granted and don't really think about articulating. What kind of church are we? And then, what kind of church is God calling us to be? You know, I've started experimenting with dictation software on my phone. I've been thinking, why am I still writing my sermons with pen and ink on paper when I could just be dictating it? So I downloaded this dictation software, and in preparing for this, I said, at least I think I said, what kind of church is God calling us to be? What appeared on the screen was, what kind of cheese is God calling us to eat? I've got it right today. What kind of church is God calling us to be? And that's a subtly different question from what kind of church do we want to be? Because there might be a challenge for us to change the way we do some things in what God is calling us to be. And when we've answered that question, then we can start asking the question, what kind of priest do we need to call in order to help that process work? What kind of skills and abilities and experience do we need to look for? What kind of character do we need that priest to have? And that's where I think that church in Connecticut had got it wrong, because it was simply looking for a priest, instead of looking to see what kind of person do we want. But before we can really ask those questions, we need to struggle with what kind of church are we being called to become. Another way of putting that might be, what are our core values? What are those things that we would never want to sacrifice about our church? What is it that if we had to rebuild our church from scratch, we would make sure we include it? What is it that if we had to give everything up except one thing, what's that one thing that we would keep? And that's our core value. So how would you answer that question? I haven't counted up how many we are, but if there are 60 of us here this morning, we've probably got 60 different answers. But there will be a common thread in them. What is our core value as a church? And different people might answer this differently. Good organ music. We can't possibly have a church functioning without good organ music. Somebody might say that. Wonderful stained glass windows. Good preaching. And maybe not just even good preaching, because you might say, well, we need solid teaching and we need a lot of it to get us right, so we need to have sermons that last at least 40 minutes every Sunday. If that is your core value, then you've kept quiet about it. But I know churches that would say that. If we don't have a lengthy sermon, we're not being taught, we're not growing as disciples. What are our core values? Is it including having the Eucharist every service so that we meet God in bread and wine and experience his presence? Is it about having outreach ministries that go out into the community beyond us, whether it's food pantry, PBJ ministry, senior luncheons? Is it about having programs for children so that we attract families and not just older people? Is it about the events that we put on, having a great Christmas fair? What makes our core values? And there may be many, many answers to that. One of them might be a place where I can be myself and be honest about myself before God. I could go on and on giving you examples. What I want to give you instead is homework. And that homework would be to ask yourself the question, what is the core value of St. Anne's that I value most? What are the things about St. Anne's that I want to see preserved? And then to be able to keep that in your mind when you're approaching the questionnaire. And not just you, but your fellow congregants. Talk about it. Think about what is important to you in this church. And when the search committee has those questionnaires back and analyzes the data, then they'll be able to start saying, this is the kind of priest we want. And when they get to interviewing candidates, which is still a long way down the road, of course, when they get to that point, they'll be able to say, are you the kind of person who will ensure that our core values continue, rather than just thinking, oh, well, this is a nice person. That one's not so nice. We choose our priests on more than niceness. What is God calling us to become? And then, how do we find the person who will enable us to be that church? In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.